AM 910 WJCW Tri-Cities Talk Radio. It's now time for Dr. Dean Baird from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital and his pet Puri.
Yes, how much is that, Dr. Dean, in the window there? Good morning, Dr. Dean. How are you doing this morning?
Priceless, he said.
There you go. I love it. So here we are on a Monday morning. Dr. Dean usually joins us around this time to let us know various things that we need to do to make sure that our pets, our little furry friends, well, not all are furry, most are healthy and happy. So, Dr. Dean, we had a whole rouster last week. What do you got for this week?
We're still stuck in the somewhat cumbersome topic of protein-losing disease.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one of the more complicated things to understand, so, which against my nature, I've been trying to go kind of slow with this to make sure that covered it as appropriately as possible. So,
yeah, because it's complex. Very much so.
As a review, last week we just basically talked about the proteins that were in the body and what they did. And I'll roughly remind everyone that we are trying to go over the issue that arises when there is a decreased level of albumin, one of the two protein types. Albumin is important for maintaining fluid balance because of osmotic pressure in the blood, so that if there's a decreased level of protein in the blood, particularly albumin, that type. The other type is globulin, which is used to make immunoglobulins, which is what your body has to protect you from disease.
Right.
So if you've got a decreased level of albumin, well, if you've got a mildly decreased level of albumin, there's not going to be any change at all. But if the albumin level gets really low, then fluid starts to leak out of blood vessels. And depending where the blood vessel is located, the symptoms can vary. They can be edema, which is the presence of fluid in what we call the interstitial space. That's outside of the vessels in the space that lies between the skin, but not under the skin. And edema is what you feel if you sprain your ankle and somebody sticks their finger in it and it leaves a pit because of the fluid.
Yeah, right.
You can get, or even probably more common than that is, as true as in dogs with heart failure, you can get edema in older people, or they don't have to be old, anybody that has congestive heart failure, so that you've got congestion in extremities and you can get edema from that. You can also get, and this is really what we're getting at with this protein losing disease in the intestine, fluid accumulation in the abdomen or fluid accumulation in the thorax. Fluid accumulation in the thorax is a particularly problematic thing because fluid in the thorax can make it hard for the lungs to expand and patients can have trouble breathing and get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a real rough thumbnail sketch of what we're getting at. So I kind of started talking about, I mentioned that there are three big reasons you get decreased albumin levels: liver disease, protein loss in urine through the kidney, and protein loss in the bowel. And I wanted to talk about protein losing enteropathy. Entero means intestinal, which is a disease problem where protein is lost through the small intestine. And we kind of went over that deal that the small intestine is responsible for absorbing nutrients.
Right.
Remember, we had talked a few weeks ago about the colon being responsible for reabsorbing fluid out of the material that's in the gut so that you don't have diarrhea all the time.
Right.
But before that fluid gets to the colon, it stays pretty liquidy so that the nutrients that are in the fluid can be absorbed by the small intestine. So here's where the problem is, meaning that in the patients that have this disease, there's not a normal amount of absorption of nutrients, and as a result, protein is lost in the bowel in that area, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they have diarrhea, although most of those patients will have diarrhea. But some of them may have the disease before it progresses to the state of having diarrhea, because ultimate problem is the protein's being lost and not absorbed, so there's not enough protein in the blood.
Right.
And if it continues to progress, meaning the protein levels get lower and lower and lower, then you'll run up against this situation where you get fluid accumulation somewhere.
Hmm.
All right. We good so far?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this is a, we're really talking about dogs. I should have said that to start with. I'm not saying cats can't have decreased albumin levels. They can. But for the purposes of the disease, this is a canine disease we're talking about. It happens in a variety of dogs. It really happens a lot in Yorkshire Terriers, but it can happen in some other breeds as well. It's not really limited to one breed of dog. And if you're sitting out there and you're saying, well, what does this got to do with me? Because I don't have a dog that has diarrhea. I guess the thing you need to think about is what would be an abnormality that could be going on that would cause this to happen? Well, the first one would be if you've got a dog that has chronic diarrhea. It doesn't mean they've got this disease, but if dogs got chronic diarrhea, they got some problem you need to get to the bottom of.
Right.
And that can require a lot of different diagnostic tests. One of the very first diagnostic tests would be just to do basic blood work, which includes a chemistry panel. And the chemistry panel is going to have, if it's a comprehensive chemistry panel, it's going to have both of the protein types on it, and you can tell if albumin level is low. That's not the first thing that any of us think about with chronic diarrhea. There are a lot of other things that are more common, but that would be one thing.
Okay.
If the problem has progressed and you didn't know it, and the protein level's gotten real low, then the animal might be getting fluid accumulation in their abdomen. How are you going to know that?
Well, yeah.
You're not.
Little poochy belly.
Yeah, Alec is right. And if it gets really bad, their abdomen will be big.
Mm,
of course, now there's a lot of things that can cause that. Abdominal tumors can cause abdomen.
And mama overfeeding.
Yeah. Of course, the thing about overfeeding, this is a real misconception about weight gain. Most weight gain that dogs have is not in the abdomen.
Hmm.
It's spread out throughout the body.
Oh.
And you're probably going to see more evidence of weight gain that's easily identifiable by looking on top of them and feeling their back and realizing you can't feel the ribs because they're fat.
Right.
Then you are by looking at their abdomen.
Now, can dogs have double chins?
Some dogs have double chins because of their breed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those smush-faced dogs. Yeah. But they can, but not usually because they're overweight.
Right.
There's usually some other problem causing that. So, Alec is right. If it gets to be a large amount of fluid, they're not going to look fat the way we consider it to be fat, although this is not the way the world looks at it. A dog with a large abdomen is not usually fat. It's usually got some other problem.
Okay.
Either fluid or a mass or Cushing's disease, because with Cushing's disease, the abdominal muscles get weak and everything gets all floppy back there.
Right.
Or some other medical abnormality. And there are some dogs that just have big abdomens because they're made that way.
Yeah.
I don't know how many dogs I've ultrasounded that had quite a bit of fat inside the abdomen, or their organs were big or something, and it just is what it is. But that would be what would be seen. And I think that if you don't see a big abdomen initially, you may notice that the dog is lethargic. Sometimes these dogs have trouble breathing because the fluid in the abdomen puts pressure on their diaphragm. And, and that can be an issue, too.
Wow.
But the most important thing is to do chemistries on them because their albumin level's low.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, if we see a dog like that, and we suspect they've got fluid in them, we're going to ultrasound them. First of all, get a fluid sample. Well, first of all, make sure it really is fluid.
Right.
And then get a sample, and then make sure we don't see a tumor. Because you can get fluid in the abdomen secondary to tumors that bleed, and that's not rare. It's a pretty common thing. And while we're on this, this is a little bit of more of a treatment thing. Dogs that really do for sure have this protein losing disease and accumulate fluid in the abdomen, the fluid can be removed. I mean, we physically can remove sometimes a lot more fluid from the abdomen than you would ever think, just because it makes the dog more comfortable.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a definitive treatment. That's really an adjunct treatment to help keep them from being heavy and uncomfortable and all that.
Right.
And it's an interesting thing about weight. Dogs that have protein-losing enteropathy or even any other kind of chronic diarrhea are more likely to lose weight and become lighter because they're not absorbing enough nutrition until they get to the point where they start to accumulate fluid, and then the weight goes the other way because that fluid would not normally be sitting there in the abdomen the way it is. So how do you diagnose it?
Yeah.
The only real definitive way to diagnose it is to do intestinal biopsies. Mm. That's somewhat problematic because if they have a protein level that's low and you do surgical biopsy, the intestine may not heal back because there's not enough protein.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So they can be diagnosed with endoscope exam, which is same as in people. You run a scope down in there and take biopsies from the mucosal surface. You say, I'll find somebody that can do that. Quite honestly, most of the cases that we see, we treat with a working diagnosis without a biopsy report just because it's dangerous to do the biopsy a lot of times. And then we talk about treatment. You know, I said you can remove fluid. That's not a definitive treatment, but it's an ancillary treatment that can be real helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Dietary change can be helpful because some of these dogs really do have some sort of sensitivity to something they're eating. True food allergy, we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
Most dogs that have true food allergy have skin disease, meaning if they're allergic to the three big ones are chicken, beef, and dairy products, it's more likely to cause a dog to have itchy skin because that's what dogs do with allergies.
Mm.
But there is a subclass of dogs that using a hydrolyzed food, one of those protein-changed foods, can help this condition too.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a lot of these dogs have to have chemotherapy or prednisone or both to try to keep the problem under control and keep the inflammation down so that the body has a chance to absorb the protein back again and try to somewhat rectify the problem.
Do we need to wrap this up next week, or have we pretty much covered everything?
I think we've covered pretty much everything. But I'd like to talk about the other causes of protein loss.
Okay, let's save that for next week then.
We can move on to a new one of those.
Yeah, okay, that'll sound good. Dr. Dean Barrett, of course, joins us every Monday around 8:15 from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, which sponsors this portion of the program. He joins us every Monday, as I said, there at Mountain Empire. They're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. And folks want to get in touch with you or make an appointment, Dr. Dean, how do they do that? What's the number?
282-3771.
Dr. Dean Baird will join us next Monday. Talk to you then.